Choir, you did great this morning in those two songs. Thank you very much. Yes, absolutely. And this morning we're going to be looking into Colossians chapter 3. Is our scripture reading this morning. And staying on the topic, subject of serving. And today is being a team player. I want to share in this passage of scripture what it means to serving the Lord, how we can all be engaged and get into the game of serving with the Lord as He works in and through our lives, individually and also in the church. So this scripture this morning, and verse 4 is the scripture, pastor scripture reading for the week, memorization. And I love that verse, and you'll see why I love that, and you love it too, I know. But it speaks about when He is revealed, we will be like Him one of these days. So looking first of all with verse 1, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life died to sin. That's what it's talking about, verse 3. For you have died to sin, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And kind of a cross-reference verse on that is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, if you want to write that down and go there and see what Paul has to say pertaining to verse 3 here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Now, looking at verse 4, I love this verse. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. One of the things that caused more concern, I believe, than almost anything else is when we have faith. We have faith. And sometimes when Jesus was talking with the disciples or when they encountered a distraction in their life or when they just wasn't up to par spiritually, and the Lord would say, oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say you don't have any faith. He just said your faith is weak right now. So it's an encouragement. Yeah, the Lord was encouraging them. So, okay, get on board with me. So that was concern. And when that concern is that pops up in our life, it doesn't, you know, it may cause us not to invest ourselves in serving the Lord the way that we should. We backtrack. Now, I want to have you to think about sports team right now. Because there's a lot of work goes into playing sports. A lot of work goes into anything that we do if we're going to be successful. So I want you to think about sports teams. There are those who are in the game, and there are those who are sitting on the bench, and there are those who are just watching, right? With various levels of interest concerning what is going on. And that was happening last night, wasn't it? In South Decatur. So, and there are those who are in the game and those who have been working hard and are getting the most out of what they're doing. And there's our lady champions from last night, sectionals. They all smiles and everybody was there, got to see their victory. They won really, really good. And most of the ones that are on the bench are striving, you know, they're striving to get into the game by putting extra work that they need in order to what? Get better. Now, the ones sitting on the in the stands, and us as we get older, we do more sitting in the stands, and we're living our lives through those who are out there playing, right? That's what we do. We're rooting. We're cheering them on in life. And that's what we are to do as Christians, cheering each other on as we serve the Lord. Now, we have all sorts of the same thing when it comes to serving Jesus. And there are those who are in the game, those who are sort of in the game, and others who are trying to live their life in the stands watching everyone else serve. All right? So today, I want to encourage you to get in the game. Now, all of those up there are in the game, right? You remember that, Nancy? Now, that drama play? See, so we're going to, if we're going to be successful, we've got to look at what it takes to get in the game. Be a team player and be successful once we are serving the Lord together. And so one of the things I want to share with you this morning is it has to be a focused mission. Our mind, you know, verse 1 said, you know, set your mind on the things above and not the things that are on the earth. So if we set our mind and our thinking, as Paul would say, on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, cheering us on, he is cheering each one of us on. He is praying and interceding for us, hoping that we would be motivated in our commitment to him to serve in a way that it would bring honor and glory to the Father. And our goal, and should be all our goals and the church goals, to win as many people to the Lord Jesus Christ while we're on this earth, serving not only the Lord but serving one another. Now, in verse 1, It takes us to chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 12, where it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, clarification on this verse. This verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, is in connection with verse 1 here in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul is not questioning whether or not we have been raised with Christ. He's not saying that. He is reminding us that we have been raised with Christ. We are buried in the likeness of his death. We are raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, it says, to walk in the newness of life. We're walking new. If we be in Christ, we are what? A new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, new things have come. So that's all scripture. So those who have been raised with Christ have a different set of expectations. So we've been buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, but we've been raised to have different expectations, and different things are expected of Christians who have been saved from their sin, or washed away our sins by the washing away of our sins as in believers' baptism. Now, once we are raised with Christ, we begin the work of conformity to the life of Christ, being transformed like him. That's why Paul is saying, you know, set your mind, set your heart on the things above, where it all began, from the very beginning of time. And it is so good that God has included us in his great plan. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, it says, from the very foundations of the earth, he created us and made us a part of His great plan. I'm glad He did, aren't you? That He thought and loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He included us in His plan, His plan of action. So the expectations is pretty high. See, God doesn't have any hidden expectations. A lot of times we do, don't we? We don't always tell everybody everything that we're thinking in our mind or we got on our mind. And that's called hidden expectation. But God reveals everything He wants us to know. And that's why in verse 4 it said, one of these days He is going to reveal Himself, and we, as we're caught up with Him, we will be like Him. The things that are in our lives, the things that we've been doing, will be revealed. It will be exposed. And one of the things on the top of our list should be, we're all servants of the living God. And He will say, welcome home, you know, my good and faithful servant. So, when you look at the word raised up, literally means to be co-resurrected alongside of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. So, in Romans chapter 6, yeah, there it is, raised up. It means co-resurrected. Now, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, gives us another illustration of what it means to serve and being baptized. So it says, or do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? And then verse 4, therefore we have been buried with Him through His baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in that newness of life. And I quoted that a while ago, but now it's on the board and you can see it. And you see those as has been transformed, been baptized, and walking in the newness of life. And we see Lily and we see your granddaughter there. Back in 2014, I believe, when that occurred. So that's what it means. When you see that, it's very motivating to see what the Scripture's talking about as we are buried with Christ and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. And that means we hit the ground running, ready to serve, ready to give our lives to the Lord in service. Now, looking back on this verse 3 and 4 in Romans chapter 6, this verse reminds us that when we give our lives to Christ and are immersed, as the Scripture says, into Christ, we then command to walk in the newness of life. It's not to say, well, if you want to. It's not saying that. Paul is saying we are commanded to walk in the newness of life. And that's something we should say, I'm glad to do. It's something that we want to do because of our love for Christ. Now, we are told that since we have been raised with Christ here in this verse, that we keep seeking the things above in verse 1. Verse 4 says, as we're walking in the newness of life, then as we are walking in the newness of life, then we're seeking those things above. It reminds me of evangelist Mr. Oakley. Brother Oakley, bless his heart. He was still preaching, he was still evangelizing, and when he was in his 80s. And he said when he was an old farm boy back in Tennessee, and God called him to preach. And all he knew was farming. And he said that he'd be out in the field working, and he'd be walking around with his hands up in the air. And people would walk by, ride by, and see Brother Oakley with his hands up in the air, walking out in the field. Now, he told this, and I believe it. And he said, people would ask him, what was you doing? You was out in the field. You was working, but you had your hands up. He said, well, before I was leading myself around in this earth, wandering around aimlessly, not knowing really what my life is all about. But when I got saved, God is leading me around now, leading me to wherever I need to go. He also said that, you know, milking cows were the thing that he did. And when he got into evangelism and so forth, and people extended his hand, he shook one finger at a time and still their hand. That's what you do when you're a farmer. You do all those things. But when we think about the life of Christ and him leading us around, and if you're walking around, you know you're in safe hands. God is leading you. So this means we are put our strong effort, persevering effort. You know, we persevere in this life. This life can be pretty tough. A lot of hardships in life. It can be physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we are called to be constantly seeking the things above, according to scriptures here. So that means keep seeking the things above and setting your hearts on the things above in verse 1, which means striving to put heavenly priorities and daily practices, or as it says in the New Living Translation, to get your sights on the realities of heaven. So as we are serving, we're thinking our minds are on the things above, and the realities and our sights are on the realities of heaven. You know, the things that we're all working towards. And it's not just the rewards and so forth we'll be given because of our faithfulness, and all of those will be laid at the feet of Jesus. But it's the ideal of the servant. As Jesus explained to the disciples, you know, if you want to be a servant, be the least. And those who are last will be first in the kingdom of God. So, see, we're not seeking just to discover. It is seeking to obtain. So the emphasis is not just the seeking, but on the object being sought. And who is that? Christ Jesus, where he is seated on the things above. So we need to realize that seeking things above is not chastening phantoms, but it's gathering treasures for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, he will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after his glory and honor and immortality that God offers. In verse 8, Paul goes on to say, but he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth instead of lives of wickedness. See, we're told in this verse what we are to focus on. And I would imagine that many of our faith struggles in this life come from the fact that we are not always in active pursuit in the things, as the scripture says in verse 1, on the things above. We struggle in that area sometime. So, this verse is calling us to do what? Set our hearts on the things above. Looking above. Looking to Jesus. So why are we to focus or set our hearts on seeking the things above? It is because, why? That's where Christ is seated. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So it's important that you make heaven the aim and the practical pursuit of your life, of my life. That is our aim. That is our goal. See, we always already received the new life from God. We received that when we asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins. When in submission, when we surrender our life, ourself, to Lord Jesus Christ, then that new life in God begins through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we do not need to struggle and work to obtain that life because we already have it in Christ Jesus. What remains is to work out the implications in our life on a daily practice. So, because we have been raised, we have a clear responsibility to God who has raised us in the likeness of Christ. So, in conclusion, do you really want to have a really exciting faith? Is that your aim? Is that my aim in life? Yes, it is. We certainly do. You need, so in able to do that, in order to do that, as your scripture says, you know, looking above, keeping our minds centered on the things above, but in order to have that fulfillment and fulfilling the promises that God gives us, the rewards, the treasures that lay up for those who are faithful, then we are to be servants of God. Albert Schweitzer, on serving and happiness, he said this: I do not know what your destiny may be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will really be happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Evidently, he found out what it meant, how to serve, Albert Schweitzer. Paul found that out as well. You and I know that ourselves. To be really happy and secure and understand our part in this life, our purpose and God's will for our plan is to serve and serve willingly. And if you have time this afternoon, you know, all afternoon, you know, you can sit down and read scriptures. There's a lot of things that we can be doing in this, on a Sunday afternoon. But Romans chapter 12 is an excellent chapter to read on serving the Lord and serving one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 is three other chapters really good about serving and using your gifts to honor and glorifying the Father, our Lord. See, we need to have a focused mission. That's what we're talking about this morning, a focused mission. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at a focused mind, as verse 1 talks about. And we need to stay focused on a team that we are on. And we're all on the same team, right? We're on God's team. The best team. We got the best coach, right? And he is a winning coach, 100%. He won that victory at Calvary for every one of us, and we're on his team. We've been buried with him. We've been raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And as we walk in the newness of life, we understand that part of that, our responsibility and expectation in this life, is to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And what a great example he has set before us to do that. And we need to stay focused mind, focus on our team. So if we are can implement these things in our lives that Paul is talking about here in verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, then we have what we have been looking for in Christ Jesus. And see, and don't stay on the sidelines, you know. Don't be living your life through other people, but live the life yourself that God has gifted you and given you in responsibilities to serve. And do like Beth and Lily, you get in the game. You get in the game. They're in the game at camp. That's where you get in the game at camp. That's where you learn to serve. One of the places is serving at camp. And there's our cabin, number 16, right? That's our cabin. That's the girls' cabin, rather. And that's a Forsyth Baptist Church's cabin. A lot of work going on in that cabin. A lot of work going on at camp. A lot of things that we can do in our service to the Lord, and some of the things that the deacons are talking about. What more can we do? How better can we serve, you know, the Lord and serve one another? Those are the gives you enjoyment in this life, knowing that, you know, we're doing what God has called us to do. Let us pray. Father God, we praise and we thank you this morning that your scriptures are really clear of our responsibility. And we get involved in so many things and forget about our service to you. We get so involved that we neglect the calling in our lives. Forget about that you have placed us here on this earth to fulfill the promises that you kept. Because you on the cross you said, it is finished, it's complete. Everything that I came, the Father has sent me to do, I have accomplished. And standing there before the disciples and being raised up, ascending into heaven, you said, go there. Therefore also preach and teach, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that our mission is clear, that we need to be focused on our mission, that we are to be doers and getting engaged and get in the game and do something for you. May that always be fresh on our minds and our hearts, because, Lord, what's better than serving you? Nothing. Nothing is better than serving you. And we thank you that you have placed us here and you touched our lives in so many different ways. You have equipped us and you've given us your word as our guideline, our instructions, our manual. Everything is in your word that we need to bring fulfillment, not only in our lives, but to you, to glorify you in your kingdom. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing hymn number 332, or Without Him. Let us stand. It's on your screen there, the words.